Our scripture reading this morning comes from Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. I will be reading the verses 17 through 22. As a congregation, we have been working our way through the book of Exodus, and we will be hearing a sermon next week also on these same verses, but on a different part of them. I'm going to be reading verses 17 through 22, but the sermon will be focused on verses 20 through 22. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Thus the reading of God's word this morning. There are many people who will sometimes say, you know, those Israelites in the wilderness, they had it made. They always knew what God's will was for their life. They always knew that God was present with them at all times. It was visible. When the Israelites had to make a decision, they never had to struggle and discern where they should go or when they should move or what they should do or what was best for the family. All they had to do is look up at the cloud, and when the cloud moved, they followed. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. At night, when the pillar of fire was before them, if it moved, they moved. If it stopped, they stopped. God was in clear direction of their lives, and all they had to do was follow and obey. Wouldn't it be nice if we had something like that today? If whenever we have to make a decision concerning the future, we could just look up like the Israelites did and know if the cloud moves, we go there. If the cloud stays, we stay where we're at. So the thinking goes. These people also seem to think that if the cloud was with Israel, that God's presence was always with Israel. They never had to feel as if maybe God had abandoned them or as if God had left them in their life. Each morning they would wake up and find the cloud. Each evening as they went to bed, they saw the pillar of fire. God was always there. God was always present with them. And wouldn't it be nice in our life if we had the comfort of knowing that God's cloud was outside of our house? That in the morning when we woke up, we saw God right with us. That in the evening when we went to bed, we knew that God was right outside, watching over us. People who think this way conclude that the Israelites had it better than we have it now. Wouldn't it be nice, even though we don't have to live in the wilderness, but spiritually nice to know that God is with us and that God is clearly directing our lives? But people who think this way do not have a proper understanding of how God is leading them and how God is present with them. They do not have a proper understanding of what the cloud and the pillar of fire represented for the Israelites in their lives. The cloud and the pillar that we have in our lives is far greater than the one the Israelites had. We also have a cloud and a pillar. We also have God's presence with us. We also have God directing us and giving direction in our lives as we live here. And what we have is far greater than what Israel ever had back then. As you listen to this sermon this morning, you should see and understand in a greater way what God has given us. Let us look at our text in verses 20 through 22 once again. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. This cloud and this pillar was in front of the people. It wasn't on top of them. It wasn't amongst them. It was in front of them, above them, as they looked at it, as they saw it. And God is present there. During the day, His presence is clouded. It's veiled in the form of a cloud because the people cannot see God. But during the night, it is there in the form of a fire. A fire representing the purity of God and His holiness. God has appeared in the Scriptures before in the form of a fire and His holiness. Perhaps you remember the covenant God made with Abraham. When Abraham cut the pieces of the animals and the Spirit of God's fire went between the pieces of the animals as God appeared to Abraham. In the book of Exodus, we read of Moses appearing before a burning bush which was holy with the purity of fire, that Moses could not approach without taking off his sandals before the presence of God. God has appeared before in the Scriptures in the form of fire. And once again, as Israel is out in the wilderness, God is before them in the appearance of a pillar of fire and in the appearance of a cloud. But this appearance before God's people falls short. God is not completely with His people in this passage. There is a day in the future when God will be with His people in their presence in this form. That day is written about in the book of Isaiah. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 4. Isaiah, chapter 4. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 4, Isaiah is writing about a future day, a future cloud, a future fire. Starting in verse 2 of chapter 4, Isaiah tells us this: "In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors of Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy, all those who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create all over Mount Zion and over all those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over all the glory, there will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and a shade from the heat of the day, and a refuge and hidden from the place, from the storm and the rain." Isaiah is writing about a future day on Mount Zion, where God's people will be, where those who belong to the Lord will live with him. And there will not be this distance of a fire and a pillar between the people and between God. But we read that on this mountain, where God's people are, this cloud will be all over it, that the people will be amongst it, that this cloud will be like a canopy covering the people and covering them as they dwell there on that mountain with the Lord. And that canopy of the Lord will be a shelter, a shade from the heat of the day. That canopy will be a hiding place from the storm and trouble which will come their way. This is God dwelling with his people. This is the picture of God dwelling with his people on the mountain in the place of God's presence as they are with him. But this is not the picture in Exodus chapter 13. In Exodus chapter 13, there is a distance between God and his people. The cloud is not above the people. The cloud is not with the people, but the cloud is in front of the people. They are to follow the cloud, but the cloud is at a distance. God's fire, God's purity, God's holiness is distant from the people. They are not part of that. They are apart from it. God is there, but God is at a distance. Now you know that when Israel enters the promised land, there is no longer a cloud to lead them. Once they have reached the end of their journey, there is no longer a cloud. There is no longer a pillar of fire in front of them, for they have ended their journey and they have reached the place of rest. But God is still with them. God is still present in their midst. And as we go through the Old Testament, we see God getting closer and closer to the people. Turn to the book of Exodus once again, the last chapter, the last phrases, the last verses in the book. Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. In Exodus chapter 40, God has appeared to Israel on Mount Sinai. God has given them the Ten Commandments. And we read in verse 34 that the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they would not set out until it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels. After God has appeared to the Israelites at Mount Sinai, after God has made a covenant with them there, after they have built him a tabernacle and an ark and a tent of meeting, the cloud doesn't stay completely apart from the people. When the people are resting from their journey, God's cloud comes to the tabernacle, to the tent of meeting. God's cloud dwells with them as they rest in that place. And when they move again, the cloud lifts and they follow. But when they rest, the cloud again settles with them. When they reached the promised land, they reached the place of rest. That is the end of their journey. And as they rest, God's cloud doesn't need to lead them anymore. But God's cloud, God's dwelling place, stays within the ark. It stays within the tabernacle. God continues to dwell and be with his people. And so when the Israelites are entering the land, it is the Levites who carry the ark ahead of the people through the Jordan River, and the waters rise and they go through. It is the Levites who carry the ark ahead of the people as they march around the city of Jericho. And after 7 days, the walls collapse and they destroy it. All throughout the conquering of the land of Canaan, it is the ark who goes with the people into battle. God's presence is with them as they fight these wars, as they conquer this land, as they come and bring it to a place of rest. And when the job is finished, in the book of 1 Kings, Solomon builds a temple for the Lord. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, listen to what the Lord tells Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 6. The priests then brought the ark of the Lord's covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark and overshadowed the ark and its carrying poles. These poles were so long that their ends could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but not from the outside, the holy place, and they are still there today. There was nothing in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. And the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. In the time of Solomon, Israel had finished their battles. David had finished the conquering of the land, and Israel was resting. And so God gave instructions for Solomon to build a temple where God could dwell with his people. Their journeys were over. They did not need a cloud. They did not need a pillar of fire because God's presence was with them. God's holiness dwelt with them in that land as they rested. But the people were still at a distance. God was in the most holy place. God was in the holy place in 1 Kings chapter 8, and the people continued to be at a distance from their God. God was holy. The people could not go in there. Only once a year the high priest could enter the most holy place where God was with the blood of a lamb. The people were resting. The people were in the promised land, but God was still at a distance as he was in the wilderness. But in the book of Acts, we read that God is no longer at a distance from his people. In Acts chapter 2, we read of the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, listen to what the scriptures say. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came down from heaven and the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In the book of Acts, we read of those who believed in Christ, those who were God's people. God's Spirit dwelt with them. Fire came upon each one of them and was separated and rested on each one of them. No longer was this separation of the people from God, but God's Spirit was with them all the time. What happened? Why is it in the Old Testament that we read that there is this distance? In the wilderness, the cloud is separated from the people. In the promised land, the Israelites have a temple, but God is in the holy place, and they're not allowed to enter. But now in the book of Acts, God's Spirit, God's presence falls on individual believers. What has happened to the people? Isaiah 4 told us. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy, all who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. God sent his Son. The people were separated from God in the wilderness, separated from God in the land of Israel, because the people were sinners. And because they were sinners, they could not go into the presence of God. Because they were sinners, when God's fire was around them, they had to stay away. For God was holy, for God could not put up with sin, for God would have to destroy sin. But in the book of Acts, that barrier is gone. God sent his Son, and his Son went into a wilderness. And his Son did not sin in that wilderness. Though Satan tried to get him to sin and to go against God's word and against God's law, he did not sin. He came out of that wilderness perfect and holy. And that Son went to the cross, and he died on the cross, and he paid the price, not for his sins, but for the sins of his people. And now those who believe in Christ, as they did on the day of Pentecost, those who have testified to his death and his resurrection, those who know about his obedience to God, have his blood applied to them, his righteous works applied to them. When God sees those people, he doesn't see sinners. God sees Christ's obedience. God sees the new life that God has placed in them, and his Spirit comes upon them, and the fire is above their heads. For they are no longer separate from God as a cloud is in front of his people. They are no longer separate from God inside of a temple. But God is present with his people all the time. At night, in the morning, during the day, his Spirit, his presence does not leave. They do not have to go to a land where there's a certain temple where God is and he's not anywhere else on the earth. They have God's presence with them all the time. God doesn't leave them. But you will see in Isaiah 4 that the day that Isaiah is describing is still a greater day. God's people are living in Mount Zion on this day. God's people are living under a continuous canopy of God's presence and God's Spirit as he dwells among them. This canopy of God's presence protects them from the storms of life, it gives them shelter from the heat of the day and from danger as they live their lives. And as we still live on this earth, we look forward to going to that place. Those who know Christ look forward to living with him and dwelling with him and being with him in that place all the time, forever. But we're not there yet. We are still on our way to the promised land. And as we are on our way in this wilderness of life, as we look forward to someday going to God at Mount Zion in this place, we live with a cloud and with a pillar. God's presence is with us in his Spirit. As God has applied the righteousness of Christ to our lives, as God has made us holy by his Spirit, His presence is with us. He doesn't leave us. We can't go anywhere to be away from Him. He is with us all the time. But what about His leading? The Israelites could always know that as that cloud went, they went. As the fire went, they went. If it stopped, they stopped. What about us in our journey? Turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not know what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions and factions, and envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit is what leads us. The Spirit is the cloud. As we live by the Spirit, we keep in step with the Spirit. We follow it. The Spirit and the sinful nature are in conflict. But as we are led by the Spirit, we do what the Spirit calls us to do. And the Spirit calls us in this wilderness journey not to live according to the sinful nature. For that sinful nature is not a journey that leads to life and Mount Zion. That is not following the cloud of God's leading and God's pillar. But following the fruit of the Spirit is a life of joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. It is a following of God's Spirit to righteousness, a righteousness which only destination is the promised land. God's presence all the time. We do not need to have a cloud and a pillar. We are no longer separate from God, but God's presence is with us now. God's Spirit is upon us and with us, and as God's Spirit is with us, we are called to follow that Spirit in the wilderness, on the road that leads to Zion. And as we follow that Spirit, let us not forget who has put us on that road headed for that place. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus, has come, and it was His obedience in the wilderness that is our obedience. It is the power of His Spirit and His righteousness that equips us to follow the Spirit and the nature and the road that leads to heaven. And so, as we come to the Lord's table this morning, let us remember and focus on what Jesus has done and where His righteousness leads us. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for what we can learn about the pillar and the cloud. For Lord, even though we do not visibly see a pillar and cloud outside our church or outside our homes, we know that the wilderness journey we are on is directed by your Spirit. We know that we live in a day which is much greater than what Israel knew, for our sins have been paid on the cross by Christ. And as your people, help us to follow the cloud. Help us, Lord, to follow the way of righteousness and not the sinful nature which is inside of us, which desires to lead us to another place. Help us to keep our eyes on Mount Zion so that someday we may live with you forever under the cloud of your presence in heaven. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.